Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. Chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Sometime during this week, I began to feel within myself something different about the country I belong to, the country of Scotland, which I love very much. Just felt the wind of change blowing very clearly in my lands. Not change for good. This is not some kind of spiritual prophetic insight I'm talking about here. More what I felt was how adrift our population and our leaders are from God and from His Word. It's not the same place as it was even just a few years ago. And what it was that really highlighted that to me this week was that vote in the Scottish Parliament to back, in principle, the gay marriage bill. It's not the passing of the bill, but it is a significant stage towards that bill becoming legislation, which it undoubtedly will be in due course, unless something truly astonishing happens to change the moral and spiritual tenor of our country. There are, I think, about 129 MSPs. 98 of them voted for the legislation to continue its passage through Parliament. Only 15 voted against it, and the rest didn't vote. What it was that really highlighted, though, my sense of the change in my country was not so much the vote, although it certainly was carried by a very large majority. What it was actually how little coverage it was given in the media. A few years ago, it would have been massive news, but actually it didn't really get very much coverage, so much so that I actually saw someone from the gay lobby complaining that it was very significant, but hardly anyone was taking much notice of it. And I wonder why that is. Well, probably because it's not a massive issue anymore. In other words, our country has kind of accepted it and moved on to something else, especially our leaders and our media. And so what we're seeing in our country is that removing the almost universal understanding of marriage as being between a man and a woman that has existed in pretty much all societies throughout all of human history up until recently, the last couple of decades and less, is no longer big news. A massive, a seismic shift in the moral understanding of our nation and in the way that human beings understand themselves is no longer really an issue. Disregarding God's word certainly is not an issue. I didn't see it, but I'm told that one of my colleagues, Reverend Paul Gibson of Purfee Church, wrote a very powerful letter to addressed to Alex Salmond and the MSPs in defence of the biblical position. But it's not really where people are at now to regard what the Bible says as something that they have to really sit up and take notice of. In reality, we live in a country now where the influence of Christian values on the population is minimal. We are in a post-Christian society, and we don't really care about that, generally as a people, as a nation. Now, I'm not into doom and gloom. We have been in such times before, and much worse. In Scotland, Scotland has been in much worse shape morally and spiritually than it is at the moment. In the past, that's nothing that hasn't happened in other cultures and other places at all kinds of different times throughout history, and it was happening here in Jesus' day. In Jerusalem, the Jerusalem he's lamenting in verse 34 here, the influence of Jesus was minimal, certainly among the leaders of the city. Instead of Jesus having influence, in fact, there were many people who wanted to kill him. Verse 31, this is the Pharisees speaking as Jesus begins his journey from Galilee down to Jerusalem. They say, leave this place, because Herod Antipas, who had authority in Galilee, he wants to kill you. And Jesus says, go tell that fox. And many people have debated, well, why did Jesus call him a fox? Was it because he was sly, or was it because he was sneaky, or what? Well, a lot of things could be said about Herod Antipas, the man who beheaded John the Baptist. He wasn't a nice character at all. But Jesus says, tell him, I'm not going to be perturbed by any intention you have to try and kill me. Today I'm going to continue my ministry. I will drive out demons. I'll heal people on my way down through Galilee and through Samaria and into Judea. And on the third day, verse 32, I will reach my goal. I'll reach Jerusalem. And then he uses a bit of irony, really. He says, in any case, I've got to keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. I've got to get to Jerusalem, because surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a place where people get killed by the leaders, says Jesus. And just in case you think I'm escaping out of Galilee because I'm afraid of Herod Antipas, I just want you to know I'm going to Jerusalem to be killed there. So, as far as the leadership in among the Jewish people is concerned, Jesus has certainly not got much influence. Even if the population in general has some regard for Jesus, most of the leaders do not. He has very little influence in the government of the land, just like it is in Scotland today. But we mustn't be despondent. We mustn't be despondent, because we know that not very long after this, things are going to really start taking a turn for the better. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Galilee, and way beyond. Although Jesus will indeed die at the hands of a corrupt and immoral government which disregards God's word, better days are coming. The root of that transformation is in the heart of Jesus himself. If Jesus didn't care for Jerusalem, if he didn't care for his people, then there really wouldn't be any hope and there wouldn't be any gospel. But Jesus cares for Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, he says, how often, you who kill the prophets, you who love to silence God's word, and you who are cruel and who destroy the voice of righteousness in your midst, I still love you. I still care for you. And how often I would have longed to gather, or I did long to gather, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He cared for the government, and he cared for the people of Jerusalem. And our hope tonight begins not in Holyrood, not even in the churches or in prayer. Our hope tonight begins in the heart of Jesus. Because we know in the heart of Jesus in heaven, there is a love for Jerusalem, and there is a love for Scotland. A love that Scotland doesn't deserve. A love that Jerusalem didn't deserve. You were not willing, verse 34 ends with. I wanted to protect and shelter you and shower you with my love and care, but you didn't want it. But I still love you, says Jesus. I've been ministering to you and you've rejected me, but I still love you. I still care. I still care for Scotland. I still want you to know my care. As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Now, as I was working on this message last night, Breacher came into my study and on my computer had lots and lots of pictures of hens with their chickens under their wings, because I googled hen protecting its chicks and got lots and lots of pictures. And isn't it a lovely thing? I don't think I've ever seen this, but there were pictures, there were videos of hens gathering their chicks and kind of protecting them and kind of sitting down on them and sheltering them from... Does it happen in Nosti, Fiona? Yes? Right, well, we can all go down to Nosti and see this, because it must be a beautiful picture, a beautiful sight. And those little chicks, which are on their own so vulnerable, are safe and cared for. And of course, the mother hen can be very aggressive and very protective of those chicks indeed. And Jesus uses that beautiful and commonplace picture from his own society to stir people to think of how he would care for them as well. He really does care for the people of Jerusalem and for the people of Scotland. And of course he shows it in a different way in chapter 19, where we read that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, this is chapter 19 verse 41, where we read, he saw the city and he wept over it. So he was approaching from the east, as it says, from Bethphage and Bethany. He's coming from the east, and he comes up over from the behind where the Jordan is in the valley. He comes up over the top, and he sees Jerusalem ahead, Mount Zion, and the spread of the city there. It's all before him, with where the Garden of Gethsemane was ahead of him, between him and the city. The city's there, just spread out in front of him. And he thinks of its people. And he weeps. He weeps for them. He laments, if you had known, if you'd known what would bring you peace, he said. If only you'd known what would bring you peace. Jesus cares. And the hope for Jerusalem and the hope for Scotland is found in the heart of Jesus. That's where it begins. That's not to say Jerusalem's leaders weren't sheltering under something. They weren't sheltering under the hen's wings of Jesus, as it were. They were sheltering under their power. They were sheltering under their rituals, the religious rituals. They were sheltering under their wealth. They weren't sheltering under God. They weren't sheltering under Jesus. Everyone shelters under something, though. What are you sheltering under tonight? Your health? Your comfortable situation in life? Jesus would say to you, if that's what you shelter under, he says, I want to gather you like a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. Because the shelter of Jesus is not going to fail. But all other shelters will. All other shelters will fail. But he would gather us in his love tonight. Each of us, we can come in under the shadow of his wings and be safe, trusting in his care. Well, hopefully we are willing, but as Jesus says in verse 34, chapter 13, Jerusalem is not willing. They'd seen Jesus, they'd heard Jesus, and they had rejected Jesus. Has Scotland rejected Jesus? I was thinking about that, and I'm sure that many people in Scotland have, but you know, I think many people in Scotland have not rejected Jesus because they haven't even had the chance to reject him. Many people in Scotland have not really much knowledge of Jesus. I mean, we're very privileged in this area, and once again, what we're saying about the schools and the access to the schools and Dave Mockett's ministry and the ministry of different churches and so on means that our primary schools and our high school kids, they all have a basic understanding, or some understanding, of what the gospel is about, far more than you'll find in most high schools and primary schools throughout Scotland. Far more. The reality is that a whole generation has grown up, many of whom, the majority of whom, have very little knowledge of Jesus. Because the gospel's not been heard in our land. There are many parts of our land, vast areas with huge populations, where if there are churches, and there often aren't even churches, if there are churches, they don't preach Jesus faithfully. They don't preach the gospel. So, how can people reject someone they haven't really heard about? And I think in Scotland today, many people haven't rejected Jesus, they just don't know about him. In fact, they may know more about Islam. They may know more about Buddhism. Or about atheism. And how do we feel about that? It is the role of every Christian in Scotland to show and tell Jesus. That's what they do in schools. They have show and tell times where the kids bring in stuff to show and tell about it. That's the job of every Christian, to show and tell Jesus. And if Scotland isn't hearing the gospel, it's because Christians aren't showing and telling. It's not always an easy thing to do, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. See, the Pharisees in verse 31 here thought Jesus shouldn't show and tell because it was dangerous for him. He says, leave this place, Herod wants to kill you. Now, whether the Pharisees are just wanting Jesus to clear off, or whether they're some of them actually care for Jesus enough to say, you know, whatever we think about your ministry, you better get out of here because Herod's going to try and kill you. Whatever, they did not understand the values of the kingdom of God. They didn't have Jesus' priorities. Jesus did not think to himself, well, as long as it's safe, I'll tell people about me and about the kingdom of God and about the way of salvation. Jesus did it whether it was safe or not. And it wasn't safe. And it wasn't safe for him to go to Jerusalem. He's going there to die. And that's something that's a challenge to us. You know, we need people in our country, we need Christians in our country to tell about Jesus even if it's not safe. Even if it's dangerous. We don't think like the Pharisees in verse 31, well, we better leave because someone wants to kill us. We think, well, this country needs to hear about the one who would gather them like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. This country needs to hear about Jesus. And one thing we should pray is that God will raise up really strong prophetic voices in our land who will speak the gospel to our land. It's not just about warning our land about the moral slide that it's in. People need to hear that there's a way of salvation. They need to hear about the one who would gather them like a hen gathers its chicks under its wings. And we need to be bold, and we need people to be bold from the churches throughout our land to do that job, whether it's safe or not, whether it causes them to be persecuted or not. Because people are endangered. If they seek shelter, like the leaders in Jerusalem did, in other places than Jesus, then verse 35, look, your house is left to you desolate. Now that may be a reference to the temple, or it may be just a reference generally to the nation. Your house is left to you desolate. It's the language that Jeremiah used just before Jerusalem was destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 12, for example, verse 7, he says, the Lord says, I will forsake my house. I will abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of my enemies. This is the language of Jeremiah before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus is warning the nation, you're about to be destroyed. The nation is about to be destroyed. Jesus spells it out more fully in chapter 19 as well. These people who seek shelter in places other than in the living God, what they shelter in is going to be destroyed. Verse 43 of chapter 19, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And this is just like what happened in Jeremiah's day under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You sheltered in other things, says Jesus. And his words were literally fulfilled just four decades later. For Scotland, there may be also turmoil ahead and not peace, because verse 42 of chapter 19, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. What does he think of Scotland? He says to it, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. If we think that Scottish independence is the shelter that we all need, or maybe not Scottish independence, remaining within the Union is the shelter we need, Jesus is saying, that's not what gives you peace. And Scotland may also, like Jerusalem, have turmoil ahead. What we need in our nation is to welcome Jesus again. Verse 35 ends with these words. It's back in chapter 13, verse 35. Look, your house is left desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah, my time on earth is coming to an end, says Jesus. You won't see me again until you are prepared to welcome me. Now, of course, as we read in chapter 19, when Jesus did enter Jerusalem, they did say these words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But it was, as we read, his disciples who said that. The people of Jerusalem, the leaders of Jerusalem, did not say that. They rejected Jesus. It was only afterwards, on the day of Pentecost, looking further beyond to the early Christian church, that people began to really recognize and to welcome the one who came in the name of Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and to know his blessing once again. It's time for us to welcome Jesus too. It's time for Jerusalem to welcome Jesus, but they did not. Well, it's time for Scotland to welcome Jesus. It's time for us to welcome Jesus, to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who will shelter us, the one who will gather us as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God does not wish or will to leave Jerusalem desolate, or to leave Scotland desolate, or to leave you desolate. If we reject him and seek shelter elsewhere, that shelter will leave us desolate in the end. It will all go away in the end. It's time for us to really mean in our church, in our community, in our country, the words of verse 35. Blessed is Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's time for us to unashamedly let our country know who Jesus is. Because the hope of our land is found in our land sheltering under the wings, the protective wings of Jesus Christ. And our need and our prayer is that Jesus will indeed gather our land under the shadow and shelter of his wings, and that like chicks in danger, we will flee to that shelter and know his loving care and not be left desolate, but instead know the blessing of him who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.